Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Addressing the ongoing mental health crisis in Orange County, Vanguard University launched Journeys at Vanguard to enable graduate clinical psychology students supervised by licensed Journeys Counseling Ministry therapists to provide therapy to all seeking it. Our guest is Vanguard University Director of the Graduate Program in Clinical Psychology, Dr. Brenda Gazelle. Dr. Gazelle, thank you for being on Impact OC.
Thank you so much for having me.
Please explain the mental health crisis in Orange County and how your unique program can help.
Well, right now, I think everyone's aware that there is a huge mental health crisis in Orange County. And right now, one of the problems is that people are depressed, they're anxious, they're stressed, and they have trauma. But the pandemic only heightened that. Right now, some of the statistics are showing that suicide remains the second leading cause of death for people ages 34 and younger in California. And so what we wanted to do was come in and say, let's get help for people who can't afford it, because that's one of the biggest issues as well. And right now, 1 in 10 people in Orange County don't have insurance at all. And so we decided to partner with Journeys Counseling Center, Vanguard University, our clinical psychology students, give them some training. And as we're doing that, provide low mental health care to free mental health care for people in need.
Explain the clients.
Well, the clients are local, but it can be anyone in Orange County. We are located in Santa Ana, so we have a lot of minorities that we serve, and we're really excited to be able to serve that population where there's such a stigma, especially the Hispanic community. So often there's a stigma on mental health and a fear of therapy being a luxury, or even that they're not supposed to express their pain when they have mental health problems, because survival is such just an important part of their lives. And the idea that now I'm supposed to talk about my mental health, it seems almost weak. And so that community, we're excited to serve more and more and remove the stigma. And so we actually have some of our students going out, educating at places in the local community and letting them know that this is something that can be life-changing, and there's ways to do it that doesn't need to be shameful.
And where is it conducted? Is it online? Is it over the phone? Is it in person? Is it over Zoom?
Excellent question. So we have offices, and right now we have about 10 students placed, and we're seeing over 100 clients in person. But we also offer telehealth. So we really are available for anyone in California. You can do telehealth with us. And so that could be for Orange County, but it also could be if you're anywhere in the state of California, you can call us up and let us know how much you can afford at Journeys Counseling. And we have students available who want to give you affordable mental health care and therapy. The other piece also is we're going to place about 15 to 20 more students in the next year. And so hopefully we'll be seeing around 350 clients a week.
When you say place, is that people who have graduated and are full-fledged counselors?
Actually, no. So we do have alumni, and so we do have licensed therapists. They're all alumni who do the training and also provide therapy. And then we also have our students who are in training right now. And they're the ones who, because they're in training, are willing to give therapy for free.
Explain how you know that you're experiencing a mental health crisis, because not everybody knows.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a great question. So I think that if depression would be one example, all of a sudden, the things that I used to love to do, I no longer like doing. I just can't seem to get pleasure in any of those things. Or I'm seeming to have poor concentration. I can't concentrate. Or so often it's a lot of somatic symptoms, because in our society, we learn to repress our pain. And then often we pay the bill because it starts coming out somatically, but we go to the doctor and the medical doctor says there's nothing wrong. And we realize that actually we're expressing mental health pain physically. And so that's, some of the ways in which tell us, oh, maybe I need to go and get help. But it could be anxiety, or it could just be that we're seeing it in our relationships, or we're abusing alcohol, we're drinking more than we normally did. And that's something that's been happening so much after the pandemic, or during the pandemic, was we saw substance abuse go up, we saw alcohol use go up. And so when we start seeing that, to say, what am I trying to medicate? What am I trying to numb? And if I stop right before I have that next glass of wine or that next drink and just start to say, what's here? So often what I'll find out is, oh, a lot of pain I don't want to feel. So that would be another clue. I think also if you've gone through a trauma, say it would be a small trauma or a bigger trauma, and you start to notice, gosh, I'm feeling helpless or shaky, or I'm avoiding things that I normally didn't avoid. Those would be signs that, you know what, I could go to a counselor and I could work through this instead of staying stuck in the suffering.
Explain the treatments.
Oh, well, we provide a lot of different treatments from different modalities, but we give everything from EMDR, which is a really popular...
What is that?
Yeah, it's a really popular therapy right now for trauma, where actually you're not actually doing as much talk therapy, but there's a way in which we help you with eye movement and neutralize some of the trauma that's happening. And then you can almost feel a lot of relief, and it's working really well with vets right now. So if you are a trauma victim, it's something to consider. We also offer individual therapy, and that could be anything from a more of a shorter-term therapy that's around 8 to 10 weeks that would be cognitive behavioral, and kind of we learn how to talk ourselves into emotionally disturbed states, but we can also learn to talk ourselves out of them, and that would be a cognitive behavioral treatment. Or for people that need more care, who say you've gone through a lot of child abuse, or you've gone through a lot of hardship throughout your life, and so there's been multiple grief, multiple losses, we offer, it could be a year or 2 years of more psychodynamic therapy and attachment therapy, where you have someone who helps you process through the pain and make sense of it and make meaning of it. Because one of the myths, I think, that is so important in regards to mental health is that we go in and we want quick fixes, or we go in and we want this idea that I'm going to talk about it, let it out, and it's over. And that's just not true. We don't grow in a linear fashion. We grow in a circular fashion. And so what we have to do is learn to accept our pain, make meaning of it, and realize that we'll always be understanding what's happened to us in our lives through different perspectives over and over again. And the more that we do that and we accept it, the duration, the severity, and the intensity of the pain lessens.
So explain how it works with you have an expert and you have a student and you have a client. How does that work?
The expert would be the supervisor. And they're often seasoned clinicians that have been doing it anywhere from 15 to 25 years to, you know, even Randy Pell, who started it, he supervises and he's been doing it over 35 years. So he's coming in and he's there with our students who are now, say, been doing it for 6 months, a year, year and a half, 2 years. Some of them are on the four-year track, so they're doing it for 3 years. And they've been learning how to conduct the art of therapy. But with each client, they go to their supervisor, who's been doing it for, you know, several years, numerous years, that has the experience. They talk through those cases, and they're given the techniques, the tools, the resources to go and help them.
And how long does a person work with the client, with the student, and then the expert? At a given, you said many weeks it can take, but at a given time, is it a half hour, an hour? How does that?
Oh, so all of our students that would have, and any clinician that's in training has to meet with a supervisor for an hour a week for every five clients they see, and they go through those cases in detail. And
are the students alone with the client?
Oh, the students are alone with the client, yes, but we have them, and that's one of the specialized trainings that I love about Vanguard University. And what we offer is that we have our clients often record sessions, and those are confidential and only shown to supervisors. But what we do is that then that supervisor gets to see what's happening in the room. So it's not just what they say. And then they can view those tapes and say, this is where you can intervene. This is where you could really give an intervention. And that seems to be so incredibly helpful.
What are the costs?
The cost is that, you know, you can come in, you're going to set up an appointment. So if say you go to the website at Journeys, you can go online or call, and you'll submit something that says, I want therapy. A therapist will call you back, and they'll say, how much can you afford? And they'll talk to you about it. And so we would say, on average, people are paying anywhere from $10 to $50 an hour. But if you can't afford anything, you can have it for free. Or sometimes what we'll do is say, could you just do $3? Could you just do $5? And that is, I think, so important because it gives the client a sense of taking some responsibility for their treatment and that they're investing as well.
What happens if a person doesn't seek therapy?
What happens? Well, I think that what happens is, and we see this consistently, and it's part of our patriarchal culture that we've kind of learned is, you know, let's not look at our emotional pain. Let's just kind of prize logic, rational thought, and not look at maybe what's going on. So we keep repressing it. And then what happens is often, like I said before, substance abuse is common, but we pay the bill in other ways. And that can be in our relationships. We start taking it out on our kids, on our family, or we lose our relationships because we just can't give them access to our pain and ourselves. And so there's a sense of that you're not experiencing emotional intimacy with your partner or with your children or with whoever you're in relationship with. And then those relationships fall apart. But the truth is, it's such a great question. People often don't go to therapy until it's worse not to. And then they're finally saying, I guess it is worse not to look. And they finally do. And that's because they waited so long until things kind of fell apart in their life, or they've lost their job, but they can't function on their job. Those different types of things. And so they finally say, I guess I have to look. And so these consequences have to become so big. And so that's what I want to encourage is let's not wait until those consequences become so big. When there's a young anger, when there's some young pain, when you say, gosh, my relationship could be a little bit better, I could feel a little bit better, that's when we want to go, because then it's so much easier to work through and it's so much faster.
Do you deal with families?
Yes, we deal with families, we deal with couples, we deal with children. We actually have a great play therapy office where we do sand tray, and we have different ways and different toys and different interventions that we can do for play therapy working with children. But we work with the whole gamut.
So when you do it, what is the goal from the student's point of view, from the client?
Well, I think that, you know, always we collaborate with clients. So we're always going to want to know what is the client's goal. People often, they'll come in and they say, I want to feel better. That's the goal. And of course we want to feel better. But I think the other goals are that there's a sense of, so often we have this myth that always feeling happy is the goal. And in life, we're not always going to feel happy. The pursuit of happiness is something that is a false expectation. And so instead, I think that what you see through therapy, the goal is meaning. When we pursue meaning in our life, joy is the byproduct. And that's a different feeling, joy. It kind of wakes you up. I might not be happy today, but I feel joyful and meaningful about my life, my purpose, and what I'm doing. So I think that's one huge piece. And then the other piece is just obviously symptom reduction, right? The duration, the intensity, the frequency of my symptoms, whatever that may be, lessen.
So it starts with certainly understanding the client's point of view to know what is troubling the client to get to the root of it.
Absolutely.
So from that point of view, how is the counselor, the student, able to reach the client for a successful interaction?
Well, so, you know, our students would, or any therapist is trained to talk with that client and find out what it is they want, what it is they need, what it is they're working through. And so often, you know, how have they gotten stuck in their suffering? And so instead of being stuck in it, let's work through the suffering. And so what that means so often is that the client first comes in. I know so many clients come in and they say, my presenting problem is that I want this job, a different job, or my presenting job is I want to feel better at the job. And then, oh, wow, yeah, I'm feeling better at my job, but really that was just a symptom of something bigger in my life. And so their goals kind of shift, and they realize this is something about, me actually having some depressive symptoms, and there's some things I can do to feel better about every aspect of my life. And so we're always reassessing those goals and doing intakes and asking them, where are you at? You know, are you getting your needs met, and are we meeting the goals, and are we making progress?
So what are the demographics of your clients?
The demographics are going to be, as I said, it could be individuals, couples, families, children. But I would say because we're serving all of Orange County, we're going to have so many different people. But we really want to focus on minorities and giving people that can't afford therapy the opportunity to have a counselor to work through, to have mental health care.
Is there issues with language?
Yes, and so we do have right now a couple bilingual therapists, and we're really excited about that. And we are working on hiring more. And I was just talking to a couple prospective students who are bilingual, and I was saying, gosh, we've got this training center downstairs. You're going to be perfect. And they are absolutely excited. So we're excited to address that piece as well, which I think is a barrier so often.
Can you give us an example of a successful connection?
Oh, so many things are confidential. I can tell you about, say, one of our students I was recently talking to, and she had said she was terrified of therapy. And she said, especially being from the Hispanic culture, she was told, you don't go to therapy, period. You don't talk about your pain, and that's considered weak. And so often Hispanics express their pain somatically. So say that the classic symptoms for therapy, for depression would be hopelessness or suicidality. They would say, oh, no, I just feel a lot of achiness and a lot of different somatic complaints. And so she noticed that was something that she was feeling. But maybe I do have, some depression, but I don't know what it is. And she went and said, most transformative thing that she ever did in her life, and wanted to become a therapist herself, because she got to look at things and pain and relationship issues and there's this nebulous part of emotional life for most people, and they don't understand that actually it's not that confusing, and there is a pattern to what we do, and there are tools and resources for communication, for access to self, and for making sense of our world. And so she learned to be more vulnerable. She learned to give access. She learned to tell people around her what was going on. And she learned to have self-compassion. And now she's pursuing her own degree in clinical psychology. And I think that is what you hear so often from our students and therapists.
Can they prescribe medicines, or are there experts that can do that to help?
That's a great question. No. So only MDs can prescribe medicine, but we have a list of referrals and affordable referrals that we can send them and say, with this treatment, quite often what's recommended would be medication, and you might want to try it, and here's some places to go, and we always give those referrals out.
What is the average length of, I would say, duration of a client-student relationship until there's some success?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that depends on the issue. So, sometimes people come in and they're just saying, I feel a little bit stuck. It's not something that's, I'm not dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Instead, I'm just having maybe some mild depressive feelings, and they work for 8 to 12 weeks. They start feeling better. They're unstuck, and they take those tools, and they're excited. Other people come in, and they're saying, gosh, I went through trauma most of my life, and I've had abuse, and I've all this unprocessed pain that I've never had anyone sit with me and witness and help me grieve through. And so that grief process can take a while. And so that could be a year, year and a half, 2 years.
And what's it like when you're done? You don't need the therapy anymore. How does the person feel?
Yeah, I think that when we're done with therapy, there's a sense of, relief, accomplishment, but also an openness to going back to therapy. And so it's kind of paradoxical. I'm done, but I know that looking in isn't so scary, and that if something comes up again, I have a resource. And there's a sense of, I think, sharing that therapy works. Therapy is great. That's what I hear when people have finished, that everyone should try this because there's a way in which we don't have to suffer. And we can have relief.
How can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch by going to the Journeys website, which I believe will be on your show notes, but it would be www.journeys.com. And then they also can call Journeys Counseling Ministry. Those are both options. And then a therapist would call and give you a quick 10-minute consultation and let you know the price and get you to a therapist.
Thank you, Vanguard University Director of the Graduate Program in Clinical Psychology, Dr. Brenda Gazelle, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.